20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Welcome into another edition of Pack-A-Day Podcast, a Saturday edition with the full squad once again. Dan Kotnick came to town. He saw, he conquered, he left, and he also did the same thing with the podcast last weekend for Pack-A-Day. But it is the OG crew of the Saturday crew as we transition into the 2022 season. I myself am Matt Fralick, the host as always, alongside me with my partners of Packers knowledge, Twitter stardom, and training camp hot takes would be Eli Berkovitz and Janelle Mackey. Janelle, I'm going to start with you. How does it feel seeing a training camp darling representing the number 87? How do you feel? How do you feel deep down?
Yeah, I mean, obviously everything that happens and every time somebody on Twitter mentions 87, obviously I get tagged in it multiple times, but no, I've said this before, you know, to wear that 87, you got to be special. And it's nice to see Dobbs out there, you know, doing the 87 number justice. And obviously, like, there's a lot of people poking fun at, you know, the Jordy legacy for it. But truly, like, it is exciting. And to be able to see somebody like that come in and, you know, take advantage of the extra reps with guys like Watkins and Watson not practicing. Not practicing until today when we're recording this on Friday. But yeah, I mean, it'd be harder if he was out there doing a crummy, sloppy job and it's like, oh, you're going to do, that's how you're going to wear 87. But yeah, no, people poke a lot of fun at it with me, obviously, because, you know, I kind of like Jordy, I guess you could say, but no, that 87 is very special to me. So I've been a little quieter than a lot of people, but, you know, it was kind of the same with Jay Sternberger, where it's like, I root for you to do well if you're going to wear that number. So obviously Sternberger didn't work out. So hopefully Dobbs can come in and be the next great 87. Obviously he'll never be first in my world, but it's also, you know, I also hope that it's not just he's doing really well in camp and then he's going to do nothing in the season. I hope that this transcends into the season and he can actually do something, but it's also only been like 3-4 days, so a lot of hype around him, but it's still cool to see. That number, I hold a special place in my heart for it, so I hope that he continues to do well wearing it.
As you should. I mean, up until Jordy Nelson, the 87 that I always represented in my mind for the Packers was Robert Brooks. He was like the first player I actually truly like fell in love with that was any really sort of professional football player. But ultimately, you mentioned a good point. It's kind of funny when like they give players jersey numbers, like you can kind of validate how you think, or at least you can draw conclusions how you think the organization looks at them. They give a receiver an 87 number, an 80 number. Great. If you're Danny Davis, unsigned restricted free agent or unsigned, you know, free agent from the Badgers, like he's number 20 right now. So like that kind of gives you a perspective of like what they're thinking of him. And you mentioned Jay Sternberger. Honestly, the best thing Jace ever had going for him was he was number 87, because as soon as he got into camp, if anyone remembers way back, it was the Texans inter-squad practice. And within like early on from that, he got hit in the mouth by rookie Lonnie Johnson, defensive back. And it was just like, that was his first practice. And it just like, he was banged up from that. And like, just a bad taste in his mouth, in our mouths overall. And you talk about like reacting like quick to how things operate in a training camp is it early on here. Like it's so hard not to get enthusiastic about it or passionate or just completely go off the deep end with a hot take, whether it be positive or negative, because we've been starving for football for so long. And especially when it comes to our squad, like it's just sweeter to see anyone actually perform. But we got to get our boy Eli some airtime here, Janelle. Most of this episode is going to be Eli's reactions, because
of course
he was able, well, as it usually is, right?
It's Eli's world. We're just living in it.
I've come to find that out as well. So Eli had the fortunate ability to be at training camp this week. I unfortunately was not able to A, make training camp, or B, even meet up with Eli for some libations. And I'm just a little disappointed in that. No cold beverages were consumed, but there's potential down the road. I still could probably get to training camp this weekend. Eli and I will connect at some point in the future, maybe for a real game, et cetera, et cetera. But Eli is in that small minority, Janelle, where he was able to actually go to the owner's meeting, He's been in town all week. Mm-hmm. He's gotten some really, really cool takes from Twitter. He's gotten some cool selfies going on. And I just really want to hear Eli kind of, I mean, we're going to set him up for some conversation parts that I'm sure you and I have maybe bookmarked in our head from this week. But truly, like, Eli, like, just walk us through the week, right? You get here earlier, I think it was like Monday or Tuesday, you got here for the owner's meeting, and just give us a little screenplay. You know, I don't know how many pages or how many acts are in it, maybe four or five, but what were your thoughts about it? And just break it down for us, my guy.
Yeah, it was a great week. Yeah, I came in Monday morning before the meeting, the shareholders meeting. So that was obviously the first one I've ever been to, which was a really cool experience. It was out. I thought it was going to be in the atrium, but it was actually out, you know, on the field. So you're sitting out there in Lambeau. It was cool. You know, Goody, obviously, Mark Murphy, they spoke. There were some other speakers, but, you know, we had the line from Mark Murphy about, you know, playing a lot of noon home games and that, you know, resulting in being a shitty team. Definitely the crowd enjoyed that one. But the meeting was really cool. I mean, the week was, you know, it's one of those weeks where it kind of feels like everything happened like all at once, because it was just like just Packers practice, all kind of this, you know, the same thing. But, you know, as you started off the show with, you know, talking about Romeo Dubs, like, I can't say enough just about, I mean, he had the spectacular catches, which everyone on Twitter was talking about, but he also was making just the solid, every, you know, second and six catch for 8 yards to get that first down, running good routes. And overall, the receiver group looked amazing. I thought Alan Lazard looked as good as I've ever seen him, at least for sure, obviously in person. But in general, I do think he actually could really step up and be a real wide receiver one, where a week ago I saw this team maybe not having a 1,000-yard receiver and just kind of like a whole group of guys getting between 600 to 800 yards, something like that. But Lazard plays all season. The way he looked, and again, it was only two practices, but with how much Rodgers clearly trusts him and the plays he was making, if he plays all season, I don't see why he can't have 1,000-plus yards, 10-plus touchdowns. Like, he was really, really impressive. Amari Rodgers was impressive, which was nice to see, both, you know, catching the ball, and he was involved in some jet sweeps, and he made some moves with the ball in his hands. So overall, the receiver group was really exciting. Juwan Winfrey, once again, big training camp darling. Everyone always talks about him. Last year he got hurt, and I think that's ultimately why he didn't end up making the initial 53-man roster. But I don't know how they're going to not have him on the roster this year. And it's crazy to think about it, because you have, you know, four guys who are veterans who you assume are locks, and Cobb, Lazard, Watkins, and Amari Rodgers. And then you have three guys you just drafted in Watson, Dubs, and Toure. And then you have Malik Taylor and Juwan Winfrey. Malik Taylor's made the roster for two straight years for special teams reasons mostly, but I mean, he would be the seventh guy. There's never been seven receivers under Matt LaFleur. So it's like you're automatically cutting Malik Taylor and Juwan Winfrey if you're sticking with six. Or you could cut Toure, so then you're cutting a rookie, keep one of those two. It's going to be really competitive, going to be very interesting to see how it goes. And I think in the end, it's going to come down to who's going to be healthiest throughout camp. Last year, Winfrey could have maybe got a spot, but he got hurt. Funchess could have got a spot, but he got hurt. So, or maybe that could have been 2 years ago by now, honestly. But, whoever stays the healthiest keeps making plays. But I don't anticipate the Packers going with seven receivers, even if they could, because there's just no reason to, especially in an offense that will probably be pretty run heavy and moving towards the run game. A.J. Dillon just continues to look more untackleable than ever. When he runs, it just, like, you feel the ground shaking. He is so freaking powerful. I have, the play that sticks out to me most, they were doing a red zone drill. Rodgers gave him a toss around the left tackle. And, yeah, you know, you're not doing full tackles, that's that. but he just ripped through guys like they were children trying to tackle him. Just gone into the end zone, not even close. So A.J. Dillon, and then, of course, Aaron Jones was super dynamic with the ball in his hands. And we actually saw him on special teams with some punt return action. And today, I believe I saw Andy Herman tweet that he was actually doing some kick return action as well. So, yeah, I mean, I doubt it's going to be what he does. But, you know, I guess if they're in a pinch, they want to give him that practice. But overall, the offense was fun to watch. The offensive line, a lot of shifting around. We saw Zach Tom starting with the ones at left tackle. We saw, I mean, just so many variations. It's honestly even hard to put them all together, but they're clearly giving everyone at the offensive line group the opportunity to make it onto the field because we don't know the status of Bakhtiari. We know Jenkins will likely end up on the PUP list. But I will say that Bakhtiari, his locker room availability the other day, when he kind of said that he wasn't all too worried, and like he calmed me down a lot, where I was like, is this guy, you know, is he going to be on the PUP list again? To, okay, are they just being extra cautious as the Packers generally do, and he'll be out there soon enough? And I'm starting to lean towards that more, and it might not mean much, but yesterday I saw him standing on the back of Aaron Rodgers' golf cart as they were ripping down the road at 40 miles an hour, and he was fist bumping and he was jumping up and down and music was blasting and his wife was sitting in the front. He looked very healthy to me. So I think we're going to see Bakhtiari out there sooner than later. Elgton Jenkins and Robert Tonyan both looked good in their recovery from their ACL. Elgton Jenkins, actually fun watching him. He was playing quarterback during the offensive line drills, taking snaps. That was fun. I believe he played quarterback back in like high school.
I was going to say, didn't he do an interview one time where he said, like, if you were going to play another position, he said he'd play quarterback? Or am I like making up this interview?
No, there is some connection of Elgton Jenkins to
quarterback. Yeah. Okay.
That was fun to watch. Another guy that I always bring up, Jen, probably more an open book maybe than here, but throughout the years, Randy Ramsey, outside linebacker. I refuse to give up on the potential that my first training camp ever, I think, in Green Bay, I saw him and I was like, who is this guy? I mean, he made Preston Smith not look very big, and Preston Smith is very big. Like Randy Ramsey, he was so explosive, and I'm like, I don't know who this guy is, but he's got to make the roster. He tore his ACL, and then last year he hurt his ankle, so he's really got bad luck with the injuries. But I do believe that if he stays healthy, I think he's going to make the roster. They're thin at outside linebacker as it is. So I really want to see Randy Ramsey make it. Some other guys that I'm trying just to think that stuck out to me. There was Davis, the safety. What is it, Sean Davis or Dwayne Davis? I don't know why I can't remember right now. Hold on. Sean Davis. Made a handful of impressive plays at safety. I think he could be their third safety behind Amos and Savage.
There's a lot to unpack there. You hit on the main points, which I'm really happy about, that you saw some of the same stuff that other people saw, offensive line stuff, Lazard, Dobbs, or however the hell we're going to try to pronounce on Packers Twitter, because we were making something of that on Friday afternoon. But the couple things that, like, I took away, and maybe Janelle took some of them because they're new to us, was the Randy Ramsey stuff right at the end here. Mm-hmm. Was, I would just say, like, overall, the way that Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon appear. I mean, granted, I know, like, I've seen some one-on-one drills where they've looked good, but I haven't really seen them, like, I've seen them on the sideline in these small little drills, but never, like, in the trenches right now. The other thing that, I mean... unfortunately, again, this is an audio podcast. If you would have saw this in a video format, my eyebrows went to my hairline when you mentioned Aaron Jones returning and receiving punts. Like, okay, yep, that's something that's never going to happen in a game. But, you know, cool for you to get work on the hands there, 33. Yeah. I mean, I really want to hit on the receiver thing a little bit here, and I'll let Janelle kind of pick at what you presented to us here, Eli, along with everyone listening today, is – the receiver like back and forth depth chart thing is so damn funny to me, because I feel like ever since I've followed the Packers more closely over the last 5, 6, 7 years, and definitely getting more into the podcast side with Packaday and just other content in general, I feel like that's always just a long-winded debate. Like, how many receivers are going to take? And then the next one is usually like, how many tight ends are going to keep? It's like all based around pass catchers, and which I think makes sense because you have Aaron Rodgers. You want to give him weapons. He's never really had a definitive number one. I mean, he's had Devontae Adams, but like in previous years, if my memory serves me correctly, it's been like, you know, Jordy or Randall Cobb or Greg Jennings or a combination of all these guys. And, you know, I think the one thing that it's going to be even more interesting this year as we nitpick to figure out who can make that depth chart there is the fact that it is going to have to be a combination of players. Lazard had a great week, but is he truly a number one receiver? Because the way he's used is almost more often like a blocking split out tight end. Like, is he, I mean, he had a good week, future Hall of Famer, as we know, ultimately, like, is it going to follow the same, pattern that LaFleur has established? My guess is no, just because of the having to fill the shoes of Devontae Adams with a collection of dudes, and also like the health of the tight end room, and like the youth that is really not there. I mean, excuse me, the veteranship that's not there. You take out Mercedes, which is, you know, probably one of the older guys in the league that's not a quarterback, and you really have Tyler Davis, you have DeGuara, you have Tonyan. And I
Daphne,
believe,
by the way, I will Daphne, say, yeah, look, Daphne, someone else, as someone I should have brought up, he looked pretty impressive whenever he had the ball in his hands, and also like way quicker than I remember, like thinner, leaner, and quicker than I remember seeing him last year. I mean, 2 or 3 times Rodgers ran a play action bootleg, hit him in the flat, and like he turned that corner. And even if it was a real game, there was no chance the defender was getting him. Like, he was like quick to the sideline, picked up probably a solid 8 to 12 yards. So Daphne is someone to look out for, tight end. Obviously also Davis, but someone I want to mention is the USFL signing, Sal Canella, came in, and on day one, I'm watching and I see this guy go up and rip down an incredible catch in the end zone wearing number 80. And I'm like, okay, well, it's not Donald Driver. It's not Justin Perillo, that much for sure. Like, who is this? I didn't realize they gave him 80, but he did look pretty impressive. I will say, though, yesterday, what day is it? Today. Was it today?
It's Friday. It is Friday currently.
Friday. Okay, so yesterday. I'm not great with days.
You're just in a vortex of Packers training camp. You're just in a vacuum.
Friday was close to the public too.
There we go.
If that helps anybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not good with days. Ben knows this.
But maybe if you'd buy a calendar, like we keep telling you to.
I don't believe in calendars. Who sets the time? Yeah. That's what I say. But either way, yesterday he was standing. They were doing some drills right in front of me. For a tight end, I got to say he was pretty thin. Like, if he was standing with the receivers, I would not have been surprised. So he might need to put on some weight. But the way he was catching the ball and the way he was running routes, with Tonyan being hurt, we don't know what DeGuara is yet. Right now, it could be more of a fullback, maybe a tight end. We're not sure. Tyler Davis has some hype, but obviously no proven stats. I think this guy, Sal Canella, if he can stick with the team, learn the offense, maybe put on a few pounds, he might be like a dark horse guy that could come out of nowhere at tight end. He impressed me, that's for sure.
I love it. I love it. I appreciate you hitting on the tight end group, because Daphne, again, I mean, this is why people should be listening to Packaday podcast every day, especially around this time of the year, is because that's a name that never came across my face all week. Not a single time on a tweet, on a graphic, on a meme. Not a damn thing. And for you to be there and actually see that he's slimmed down, according to your eyes, he's a little bit quicker, which is kind of the thing that's always stuck out to Daphne about me, not his quickness, but his, you know, just his frame. And if he's slimmed down or even a little bit more compact and more rigid around the edges, I think that's a fantastic thing to have. So great for you to call that out. Janelle, I got to get you in the mix here. First thing I'm going to say to you is, I've come to understand the friendship that you, Eli, and Zach Jacobson have, and it's been highlighted very, very much on Game On Wisconsin's open book. However, are you slightly intimidated, or Zach, have you gone in the DMs about possibly Eli and Joe Barry being besties now after he got the selfie this week.
Right, yeah. All of a sudden, Eli's got a big head, and he's going to be too good for us one of these days.
And I'm not saying it. I'm just bringing it to the light because other people have said it. So I just want to get it out in front and make sure we can work through it.
Yeah, no, I'm just proud of Eli for finally learning how to take a picture. I know there was the fiasco last year where he claims he got a picture with Randall Cobb, but he didn't do it right because the timer was going. And so I'm proud of him, you know, after a year of sitting on that failure. You had Andrew take this one though.
I was gonna sit here and take the credit as someone who learned how to use a camera on his phone, but I don't.
But to be fair, you also did take a picture of Andrew.
That's true.
So I have noticed that you learned how to take the picture, and no.
It's just nuts. I can't do selfie mode. I can do regular pictures. I just can't do selfie. I don't know how those work.
You've redeemed yourself. And, you know, it is cool because you said that you just kind of ran into him on the street. It wasn't like you caught him, like, during camp or anything. It was just kind of after, right? So
yeah,
it's just kind of the aftermath of practice and everybody kind of going back to their day-to-day life. And you just kind of run into Joe Barry there. You know, living in Green Bay, I really didn't run into as many people as I was hoping I would. I remember my first tour at UWGB, the girl who was giving the tour said she heard that Aaron Rodgers went to this one place for wings every Wednesday. So she was there every Wednesday for like 2 months and never saw him. And I was like, these are my kind of people. But you don't run into people as much as you think you would. So that's pretty cool that you're able to catch him and actually get the picture. And maybe one day you'll redeem yourself with Randall Cobb. But yeah, I mean, I will always be around to humble Eli if he thinks that he's starting to get too good for us. I will make sure to bring him back down.
I would never think too highly of myself, as you know. But if you go to training camp, if you know, it takes time to realize the spots, but you can, yeah, I mean, you can find ways to run into really a lot of people. I mean, over this week. And not to like whatever, but I'm just saying, if you go to training camp, it just is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But Rasul Douglas, Eric Stokes, Adrian Amos, Ty Summers, so many guys, like they're just, because if you know where they exit from training, from the practice field, usually what I'll do is I'll leave like about 3 to 5 minutes, like as they're wrapping up and like I could see they're huddling up, whatever. And I just go there and, you know, that's kind of where the guys hang out. I actually did get the chance to talk to Randall Cobb, Jen, but no, I did not yet redeem the photo incident, but that will happen soon enough. But
so Eli's basically telling us, here's how you stalk the Packers after practice.
And I want to get out in front of something, cause it's never been actually set up this perfect before for me, maybe not perfect, but, and I mean this with all due respect to the couple people that do it on Packers Twitter, is like, I think it's intrusive what Eli's doing, but not as intrusive as people following private jets that when people do free agency and stuff and seeing where people are going. I mean, that's a special type of breed that I'm glad we're not a part of. But I can definitely appreciate the like, hey, it's very simple. We are in a 2 mile by 2 mile like square, like it's going to be easy to run into people just accidentally. So I totally can respect what you're doing.
Been there. I mean, I don't know if you've been to camp before,
yeah,
but
definitely.
It wasn't like I was the only one standing there. I mean, people obviously
know. Eli's like hiding in the shadow of the building, man, can I get a picture?
I mean, when guys are coming out of that exit area, there's always like, you know, at least 20, 30 people. I mean, you know, they know where they're coming out to, But yeah, it was definitely cool. It was a fun week, but a couple, you know, one or two things I just remember just about practice that maybe most importantly, special teams. I mean, I think I've gone 4 straight years now to training camp. I've never seen nearly as much emphasis and time spent on special teams. We're not even going to have to say why. We all know why. And Rich Bisaccia, as I think we said pre-show, but yeah, he was barking and he's barking the whole time. And I loved
it. Is he the one that like rejected you?
Yeah, he rejected me hard. So that was super, I loved it. It was like, I see him walking and I'm like, all right, let's just see. Because he's pretty intimidating, honestly. And he had headphones on, like, but he was just putting them in. So I was like, you know what? Let me just try to dive in. I was like, hey coach, how are you? Good. And I was like, all right, great practice. You mind if we take a picture? And right away, he just threw those headphones on and just gone. I was like, all right, cool. Like, you know what? I wouldn't want to take a picture with me either. Roll with it. But you go. But no, it was fun watching him. And yeah, Joe Barry just yelling a lot.
Eli, you said you wouldn't want to take a picture with yourself either. It's because you actually don't know how to take the selfie. Yeah, dude. That's the
yeah, I wouldn't. Burn. I wouldn't even, that is true. Yeah. So the special teams. And then there was one more thing defensively. Oh, yeah. Devontae Wyatt and Quay Walker.
I was going to ask about Wyatt because I know Wyatt, he kind of had a quieter day one. Yeah. So when we talked on Wednesday, we didn't touch on him too much. But then I saw his name kind of showing up again more on Thursday. So that was good to see.
Yeah, he was yesterday. He was definitely disruptive. I mean, even forget inside runs, even on the tosses or the outside runs, he is going from nose tackle and making it out to the edge and making the stop. Like, he is so fast for a guy his size. And like, when you look at him, I mean, it's just like a big, like, square brick of muscle and speed. And just that you look, there's like, there's no way that guy can move that fast. And then he does. Like, he's starting over a guard, the ball snapped, and he's already past the tackle in the backfield, stopping a run. And then Quay Walker's running sideline to sideline, which is exactly, you know, what the Packers have needed. And that's nothing against Devondre Campbell, who's also been great, but I wouldn't say he's as, you know, fast and lean as Walker. So Walker's kind of going to be that guy who can turn into, you know, a Devin White, a, you know, Darius Leonard, just that really lean, fast middle linebacker next to Devondre Campbell. I think the Packers, the middle of their defense, and in general, I mean, their defense, we've said it all offseason, there's no reason this shouldn't be for sure top 10, if not top 5. Rashawn Gary continues to look freakish. Preston Smith is Preston Smith. He's reliable. We know he's going to be good. And the secondary is incredible. You've got, you know, Alexander Stokes, Douglas, Savage, Amos. And I do think this guy, Sean Davis, is going to turn some heads when he ends up as the number three safety is what I think is going to happen. So if the offense can simply put up 24 points, I think the Packers win 13 games at least.
Absolutely. I you know, I know we got to get wrapped up here a little bit because I could ask you questions all day, Eli, and I probably will continue to do so in our Twitter DMs throughout the weekend. But the one thing that I really want to drive home on is just like sometimes when we get into training camp, we do make these like brass decisions, right? And I think some of the things, especially with like Sean Davis, it's like it was going into the season, like, you know, he's going to be the number three, he's going to be the number three, and it that checks out, right? Now is Romeo Doubs going to have an equally as good Saturday practice or next week or when they get into the actual game? Because we've seen this happen before, even recently with receivers for the Packers. I'm going to bring up the name Jamon Moore, right? He had a couple good weeks right off the rip, was getting compliments from Aaron Rodgers, which are far and few between for a rookie receiver. And like, didn't all stick that much. And so it's interesting to think, you know, sometimes when you come into a training camp, things that you expect actually do occur. You see that going on. And there's many, many examples that we brought up throughout this entire episode of those, but sometimes they don't check out. And even there's some new ones like the Doubs thing. We didn't really expect him to pop as much as he did, but he did. But can you carry that through the summer? Can you carry that into game speed? And then we really can find out what players look like. Because right now, shorts and shells ain't it. That ain't it. It's not the real deal. So I think at the end of the day, it was a hell of a week of a practice. One thing, and I'm going to knock on wood, cross my fingers, cross my toes, is that there was no injuries this week. And that is a huge, huge thing. I don't think I heard of a single guy getting tweaked because I know damn well if it was, it would have been on my Twitter timeline like crazy. And if it was someone notable, it would have gotten some attention even around the beat. So that's something I'm really, really thankful on. And because generally, if that's going to happen in a week like this, it's going to be probably a lower body serious type of injury because you really, really shouldn't have any contact injuries at this point. It should be a small, awkward step and something comes down and you'd be in trouble. But Janelle, I'm going to give you the last question for Eli, the last word, the last whatever you want, as we wrap up here on this Saturday edition of Pack a Day Podcast. As we get through almost all the training camp days, there's obviously training camp today. I believe on Saturday it starts at 10:45 a.m. But Janelle, the floor is yours.
Yeah, just kind of like wrap things up a little bit. Yeah, it was a it was a really fun week. Obviously our first taste of football that we've had in a while. So I think that's also kind of, you know, people get overhyped for everything because, you know, we've been so deprived of football for so long that everything it's like, wow. And, oh, and you know, it's just exciting because football's back and you just kind of hope that all these things that we're seeing carry through the next few weeks and few months as we get into the actual season. And, you know, it is fun to get overhyped for players, but it's also, you got to kind of be realistic about it too. And that's, you know, I try not to get too overhyped because I don't want, you know, my heart to get shattered down the road when moves are made and all that stuff. And I become attached to a player who was like the camp darling.
Jen, who hurt you? I mean,
what I know, I try and just, you know, not grow attached, you know, maybe that's because like so many players I've loved before have come and gone, but no, I just try and like, I'm just kind of just taking everything in as I can. And I'm trying not to get like overexcited, but it's, at the same time, it's really hard because I mean, you look at this team and what they can do. And I was thinking earlier about how cool it is, you know, when the defense makes a really good play, how exciting that is because you look at the offense that they're facing and vice versa, where it's like, if you got a defense that's shutting down Aaron Rodgers or stopping guys like AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones, it's like, wow, kudos to the defense. And then vice versa, if the offense is out there making good plays against guys like, you know, Douglas and Jair and Stokes, it's like, oh my gosh, like they're making plays against one of the best defenses. So I think it is a testament that, you know, both the offense and the defense are, they have like the advantage here in these practices where they're playing some of the best and it makes them better. Where it's like, if you have a team that has a crappy offense, of course the defense is going to do well and they're not going to take as much out of it. So I think that's one of the things that the Packers benefit the most from right now is that both sides of the ball are so good that they can really only make each other better at this point. So, you know, I try and take everything in as I can, not get overhyped, but it's like, at the same time, this team makes it really, really hard not to fall in love with players or get overexcited when it's only been 3 days of practice and you're already like calling guys Hall of Famers and stuff like that. So, I mean, first week of football, almost in the books, depending on when you're hearing this. No, it was really exciting. But the one player that I really, you know, I'm just kind of curious because I haven't seen a whole lot on him. I know Matt's kind of giving me some look, but I'm just curious about what Jordan Love's looking
yes.
like. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Like, that was a segue to Eli. Hell yes.
I'm happy one of you asked. As I was actually going to bring up saying I should probably mention
like,
Jordan
that's
Love.
How I want us to close. Like, just we I'm curious. To. I don't see enough about it. Yeah. I just want to know how he's looking because he obviously did some off-season training with, you know, where was it with Bakhtiari and like in that place where they train out, I think in like California. So I'm just kind of curious as to how he's looking, either physique or skill or, you know, just give us the rundown on Jordan Love.
Yeah. So Jordan Love is actually only because you just brought up, you know, physique and the way he's, I guess, looking right now was another one of the guys that was like right by the bike lane, you know, after practice where so I was standing, you know, 2 feet in front of him and definitely looks like he's been working out because he looks pretty shredded. But and look, we all know I'm a huge Aaron Rodgers fan. This does not mean I am not a Jordan Love fan. He, for the most part, was pretty spotty. I'll say it like that. He had 2 or 3 throws that stick out to me that were like, all right, that was like a pretty damn good throw. One in specific where I think Andy actually tweeted about it, but Amari Rodgers was running a crosser over the middle, and there was kind of, you know, in a zone, fitting it between 2 linebackers. He threw it right between them, low, so Amari Rodgers can kind of dive down and catch it, not take too much of a hit. And Amari Rodgers caught it, which was nice to see because obviously we want to see Amari Rodgers grow as well. But at the same time, there were plays where Jordan Love just simply either made a bad decision where, I mean, a few times where he threw the ball, I mean, the guy was completely covered or just he just overthrew it like by a lot or a couple times where it would have been a sack if it was a real game. And then when they were doing the Nets, I mean, I don't know how much the Nets really matter, but from what I saw, I mean, he actually didn't even hit the rim on any of the Nets. So it wasn't the best, I'll be honest. Like he made a few good throws, but I didn't walk away from either practice saying like, all right, Jordan Love, like that's a different guy than I saw you know, last year. But again, it's a couple practices. He didn't have a ton of reps, and you know, he's playing with the second string receivers and all that, but I was hoping to see more. His throwing motion looks good. Like, he does look more comfortable in the pocket, which I will say he better than last year, like more fluid, more comfortable, not as rigid maybe as last year. But the accuracy, I still think, like, it's just not confident. Like, I feel like he wasn't putting a lot into his throws. They were coming out kind of wobbly, sort of lofted. He just needs a little bit more confidence maybe in himself stepping into his throws. But again, we all know there's like that confidence, the potential is kind of there. It's just if they could get to it. But I was not overly impressed, unfortunately.
I'm so glad we were in sync this whole entire episode, guys. This one have been one of our better episodes over the last couple months, and it's easy, right? Because there's actual stuff to talk to. We're not, you know, coming up with games and drafting players to play different positions. We're not coming up with these superlatives, these Mad Libs. But to finish it on a somewhat, I don't even want to say it's a negative note. It's just a, you know, this is the real deal scenario. This is how it's actually going for Jordan Love. And I never can remember where Janelle falls on the Jordan Love spectrum, but I do know Eli and I are kind of aligned on it. And to hear the fact that, I mean, how much weight do we really put in these net throws? Not a lot, but like, if you can't even hit the broadside of a barn door with that, like that says something to me. So, glad to hear that he's in better physical shape. Glad to hear that the throwing motion somewhat tweaked, but that has been my biggest bugaboo for a while, Eli, that you hit on probably the two things. One is just like some of those throws that come out are like, what the hell? Like that doesn't even, I mean, and maybe we're comparing and contrasting it to someone that can sling that damn thing like Aaron Rodgers. So it's tough to go from one extreme to the, not the other, but something that's not as favorable. And then the second one is just the confidence. I think that's something that I've always hit on with Jordan Love. It's just I've never seen the confidence from him yet. But as we get through the offseason in the training camp, I mean, there'll be more, you know, Jordan Love news. There'll be more stuff to talk about next week, of course, and even come up on tomorrow's episode, recapping the entire week that was, and especially the Saturday practice. And I imagine there'll be an absolute way more fans down there and even more people that cover the team that have 9-to-5s, couldn't get down there. So I imagine it'll be even a little bit more of a buzz. But ultimately, this is the greatest time of the year for me. I mean, it's we're just ramping up to the start of the season. It's a great time, and it's you really soak it all up. And as you maybe distract yourself with football and ever, all of a sudden the colors in the trees change and it gets cold as hell out, and then we just fully dive into Packer season because I hate the cold. Janelle, it's been a hell of a week. Let everyone know where they can get in contact with you, what content you have pushing out with yourself. And I know Eli and Jake, or excuse me, Jacob Zacherson. fill the people in, and where can they get in contact with you?
Yeah, obviously best places on Twitter at BigMac_4. I know this week was a little bit tougher for me being on the softball field. I didn't get to be, you know, up to date with everything. So I kind of got home, eat my dinner, catch up on all the news from the day. So today was kind of fun. I don't work Fridays, which is awesome in the summer. So I was able to really dive into everything today and just see everything. And it's just so fun to see guys like, you know, Rodgers and Bakhtiari just jamming out in the cart and just kind of stuff like that. And Randall Cobb asking Sammy Watkins questions about Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers. And just, you know, it's fun to see the team acting the way that they are and having fun, and football's back. So a lot of that stuff, obviously, my reactions will be on Twitter. And then obviously every Saturday you can catch me with Matt and Eli here on Packaday, every Wednesday night over on Open Book on Game On Wisconsin, again with Eli and Zach. I'm sure maybe Packer Report stuff will start rolling through, just trying to find time for everything. But yeah, football's here and it's awesome. And I'm so glad to be overwhelmed with green and gold content once again.
Sick. Absolutely awesome. Like I agree. I couldn't agree more. And it's a lot, I would say, just to put it bluntly. Like, this week was a lot as far as attention span goes for me personally. You're like, all these other things going on in my life. And then it's also, I'm still trying to follow the team that I love and, you know, have a passion for and do content with.
Which congrats to Matt on closing on his house.
Thank you. Thank
you. Snaps for Matt, Andrea. Very cool.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that a ton. As everyone listening to this probably Saturday morning, I will have actually have slept there the night before. Granted, it's on an air mattress, but it just felt right to get in there.
First night in the new house.
First night in the new house, and I anticipate a few adult beverages to make up for the ones Eli and I didn't drink over his visit to Green Bay. Eli, hell of a week. I appreciate I truly looked forward to doing this episode because like Wednesday or Thursday, I'm like, wow, this is going to be, a fun episode to be able to just basically squeeze all the juice out of Eli as much as possible. Interesting image in your head there, but really just to see what we're going to come up with, what things you saw, and you exceed my expectations with stuff because, to not only see what I was seeing on Twitter, but you just adding these extra elements in that we didn't get to see, specifically Jordan Love at the end, Dominique Daphne, a couple of plays probably from the rookie defensive dudes like from Georgia. So I appreciate that. But let everyone know, like Janelle said, where they can get in contact with you throughout this season as we ramp up and all the things you got going on your end.
Yeah. First off, Matt, we will definitely make up for not linking up this week. I'm sure I'll be back in Green Bay before the season starts. But in terms of where you can find me, always on Twitter is where you'll find basically all my work at bookofeli_NFL. You can also find some of my writing on packreport.com and check out my YouTube page under Eli Berkovitz. Subscribe. Would really appreciate any subscribers. Would be awesome. And yeah, I'm just really excited. Packers football's back, being out in Green Bay again, seeing everyone out there. A lot of fun just to see football again, and looking forward to seeing how practice goes tomorrow and next week and talking to you guys again about another week of training camp.
Hell yeah. As Eli said, Packers football is back, and so will Pack-A-Day Podcast tomorrow on Sunday and every day, 365 days a year. And truly, it's a great, great time to be alive if you're a Packers fan or a football fan. And make sure you are subscribed to all the podcasts, platforms out there for Pack-A-Day Podcasts. Wherever you listen, I don't really care. I'm more of an Apple Music guy. Some people like Spotify. Some people listen to some obscure stuff I've never heard of. But whatever you get, every way you're getting the audio into your ear holes, make sure you're subscribed. Give us a rating on there. We'd appreciate it, or a review. And if you haven't yet followed Pack-A-Day Podcast on Twitter, highly, highly suggest to do so because it kind of is an ecosystem, a conglomerate for all the people that are a part of Pack-A-Day Podcast and all of our takes and the interactions that happen there. I think you just get a little bit more of the written format to be able to see stuff and everyone that we interact with on there. It's a great spot to be. For myself, you can find me on Twitter still at @Matt_Frey_. That's at @MATT_FRA_. Like I said, we'll be back next Saturday with Janelle, Eli, and myself to do Pack-A-Day once again. I also kicked off this week game on Wisconsin with all the other content, just like Open Book, Lombardi's Bar, all the other shows that I'm omitting out of my brain, intentionally or not intentionally. Jacob Westendorf, you know what I'm talking about. On Mondays, Final Dump, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on the YouTube side, on the Facebook side. Brendan Dorzinski and I breaking down everything from the previous weekend and leading everyone into a great week and just kind of going from things from there. But we had our first episode of season 2 this past Monday for the live stream, and we continue to do so up until we're not, I guess, allowed to anymore by the Packers success. But ultimately, I imagine it'll be up until early February. But for Janelle Mackey, Eli Berkovitz, I am Matt Frelick. You guys be well. Take care. Enjoy the weekend. Recharge a little bit. Get those Twitter fingers a little rested up because we've got a big week coming up next. And as always,
go Pack, go.